Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Tonight, I want you to listen to the introduction at where we're going tonight, and then I'll give you the title of the message. Because I'm a pastor and I really care about your future, we can come into the house of God and we can just minister any old message. You know, maybe because we've been at this for so many years, you know, I've been doing this for 35 years, we could probably dig up a whole bunch of old messages and teach them over and over again. None of you would know the difference. We don't do that at this church. We're led by the Spirit of God to share things that God would have you to hear. Now, I want you to listen to me. It's vitally important that every time you come into the house of God, that you are a person that gets something from God and leaves changed and different than when you came into the house of God. You don't go to church to do your penance. You don't go to church to show God how good you are, nice you are, so you can throw up a token prayer and get an answer to something that, you know, you need. And that maybe God looks at you at a favorable thing. You come to church to find out how to live life that's pleasing to the Lord. Listen to me, and prosperous for your future, for your family and your children, your finances, dreams, and vision. I made a comment last week, one of our points, if you weren't here on Sunday morning, we were talking about backsliding. And one of the, if you will, extremes of backsliding, one of the things that takes place for most people that are backsliders, backsliders are somebody that used to go on with God, but no longer goes on with God, used to be fired up with God, no longer fired up for God. Eventually, they fall away completely, you know. And so, one of the points we were making last Sunday, Saturday and Sunday, was that you really have to desire to get it spiritually. Really have to have a desire to get it. If you don't really desire to get it from God, you're not going to get it. Remember how if you were here, you heard that point. Let me say it again for those of you that weren't here. I want you to listen to me for a second. If you don't really desire to get it from God, you're not going to get it. It's just the way it is. You're not going to get it. We looked at scripture. We looked at all the insight. We're talking about spiritually getting it. So people want to be blessed by God. They want to live prosperous lives. They want to be successful. They want to be free of a junk that holds them back and makes them do stuff they feel bad about and live in a world of shame. They want to get free of all of that. God comes along, sends his son Jesus Christ, sends the power of the Holy Spirit to you to dwell on the inside of you, then gives you directions from the Word of God on how to live life so that you can be free enough in every area, not to let the old hang-ups of the past rule and dictate who you are in the future. And so what we do is, if you don't have a desire to get this, it's not easy. Maybe you've read your Bible a few times and you say, "Guy, I just don't understand it." But if you diligently go after it, you'll get it. Because this is called, if you remember, the hidden mysteries of God. You've heard me say that 1,000 times. I'll say it 1,000 more times. The Bible refers to itself as the hidden mysteries of God. Hidden because it's hard to find. Mysteries because it's hard to figure out. But when you find them and figure them out, listen to this, and apply them in your life, changes the whole world that you live in. You go from an unhappy person to a joyful person. You go from a broke person to a rich person. I'm not talking about just money in your pocket, even though it incorporates that. I'm talking about really being rich in life. Really being fulfilled, really having direction, motivation, and insight, and really understanding from God what he wants for you, really feeling a fulfillment and pleasure because you're fulfilling the plan of God in your life. Everybody wants that, but not everybody really desires it enough to go get it. They want it if somebody will wave magic wand over their head. So they want it if they, you know, if somebody does something to make them do it, maybe to shock them into doing it. I'm not interested in getting you to that place. I'm interested in presenting to you what it's going to take for you to be successful. And then you deal with it with God about whether or not you want to do it or don't do it, because I can't make you do it. Last week when I said these words, and it's a funny words, no real desire to get it means it's just cheap talk off for a lot of people. Cheap talk means I say I really desire God, I say I really love God, but those are just words, or just cheap talk. My action says something different than my mouth. And you know, we're going to have to somewhere along the line in everybody's Christian walk come along and have the action be greater than your mouth. Because talk's cheap. You've heard it a million times. In fact, not even a lending institution in the world will loan you money without checking your record to see whether or not you really stand behind your word. That's called a credit check before they ever loan you anything. But we have this mentality that we can go before God and say, God, I really love you. Of course, I'm never going to do anything to show that love. I really want to be near you, but I, you know, really don't make an effort. I really think you're wonderful and powerful, but I, on the other hand, I really don't see that at all. And we get into this world of cheap talk, expecting God to bless us when we're just not really doing anything. Jesus makes the statement, you will know them by their, finish the sentence. You'll know them by their what? Fruit. So the fruit means what you produce is really what you are. If you don't produce anything, it really never shows anything. And so we come along, we attend church, someone makes us feel good, they throw a little smoke all over us, little incense all over us. The guy's got a cool robe and a big hat and he's, you know, looking like he's, you know, really powerful and really spiritual, and we all freak out and don't know any difference. But that's not what this is about at all. What it's about is your heart before God and whether or not your life that speaks louder than your words line up with your words. If they don't, then there needs to be some changes, and that's okay, because we're all there and need changes, don't we? And that's what this is all about. Sometimes we say, I believe God. We really don't believe God. I love God. Really don't. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So there's no options to it showing what it is that he's requiring of us. We live in a world in Christianity called cheap talk. Very little action to back up who we are, what we believe. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. That's okay for a while you're young in Jesus. But it's not okay after a while. We need to grow up and start being what we say we are and doing what we say we do. Let me just, I know this is a long introduction, but it's important for you to get this real quick. If I say to Debbie, I love you, Debbie, I love you, but I don't talk to her, I don't provide for her, I don't protect her, I really don't give two flips about how she feels or what I can do to enhance her life, then it's just cheap talk. And it isn't long before a wife says, you say that, but you don't really live that. It's the same exact thing with God. If Deborah said she loved me and she never really came and wanted to be with me, she didn't really care about me, it'd be just cheap talk. And the marriage wouldn't work. And the marriage between you and Jesus, and that's what it's described to be like, can't be filled with cheap talk, but got to be filled with action. Men, you got to start doing what God tells you to do as a man and the head of the house. Women, you got to start doing what God would have you to do. And you do it because you love the Lord. It's that simple. I really love you, God. And if I really love you, I'm not just going to say it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to learn how to love you the way you want me to love you. Is anybody listening? So the message, the title of the message is what real desire looks like. There are some things, if you have a real desire for God, then what should it really look like? Let me say that again so none of you miss it. Listen, if you have a real desire for God, then what should your desire look like besides just talk? What should your action be? What should your fruit be? Well, if you have a real desire for God, then what should your life look like? What should you be doing? How should you approach Jesus? If I tell you, like I did Sunday, you need to have a real desire for God and then not tell you how to do it, I haven't done my job. So I've got to share with you how to do it. Four things God gave me to share with you. I labored over these because God had ministered to them. I wasn't quite sure how it was going to work out, but you know God, it does. Listen, here's what it is. What real desire looks like. Is that okay? Real desire is not afraid of being different. In other words, can I just say this to you? I really desire to be near Deborah. So here I am as an older man, a grandpa of 11 grandchildren soon, any moment. My 10 have already had Luke sitting there waiting for a phone call. And when he gets up and runs out of here, my mind goes somewhere else. Don't do that. You did that earlier, whatever that was. I know you're going back to the video department, but don't go back there like that. Send the signal up and say, it's okay, it's okay. I'm just going with it. Because I thought, for sure, she's in labor, you know. What was I talking about? No, I lost and found. Just wanted to remind you. I'm not afraid to hold her hand because I love her. Even though for a lot of guys, man, look at that guy holding his, that, look at those two old people holding hands. You know, I don't care. See, I'm not afraid to be different. I'm not afraid to stand in front of you and tell you that I absolutely adore the woman. When everybody else is, you know, half treating their wife as if she's not important. That woman is the most important thing in my life outside of Jesus Christ. I don't mind telling you, I am not just in love with her, I am passionately in love with her. She's the craziest woman I've ever met, but she's also the smartest woman I've ever met. It's like, I don't know, I live with Einstein on one side and Isaiah the prophet's sister on the other side. I can't figure it out. But I'm in love with her. And see, I'm not afraid to be different than that because I want to show that. And we have to not be afraid. I'm not afraid, if you will, if you, you know, kind of a thing is that for all of us, I'm not afraid to look kind of stupid as a Christian. It wasn't until I made up a statement that to myself, if I'm supposed to carry my Bible, I'm going to carry my Bible. I remember when I first got saved, you know, I didn't want anybody to see that I was carrying my Bible. You know what I'm talking about, because you were there too. And you felt funny carrying a Bible, and especially if you went to a public place, you would kind of hide it or put it under your arm or, you know, hope your wife had a big purse and you could put it in your purse or something. You just felt funny about carrying a Bible. I finally said, I'm carrying my Bible. I'm going to be proud of it because I don't care what anybody else thinks. And it wasn't until I got to the place in my walk and you get to the place in your walk where you just don't give a flip what anybody thinks or says about you and your relationship with God. This is the way it is. I don't care what you think about me. And I can't be afraid to be different. In fact, I was reading the Word of God. Go with me to Mark 10th chapter. I'll just give you the verse here. It's just kind of fun, but let me read it to you. There's wealthy young, if you will, wealthy young man comes to Jesus. You know the story. And he says to Jesus, Jesus, what must I do to enter into the kingdom of God? Jesus tells him what to do. And he says, I've done all of that. And he says, you know, and then he says, go sell all your stuff and follow me. And he couldn't do it because he had a lot of money. Well, the verse tells us something about the man. First of all, Jesus is with his disciples talking to them about the little children. And when he finishes talking to his disciples about letting the little children come to him, this guy chases him down and bows before him. I don't know if you've ever seen that before. In other words, if he's a rich man, you knew he was a rich man in those days by what he wore. His robes were different. Maybe his jewelry was different. His hat was different. His clothes were different. They were unusual colors. They weren't faded like the other clothes. He was a rich man in looks. And literally that was his status by what people saw him. To be a rich man, you could tell a rich man from a poor man at a moment's glance in those days. Not like today where everybody blends together. They would be outstanding in a group. Now, I don't know about you, but I know about rich people. And rich people have an arrogance about being rich. They like to be seen. They like to be recognized. They like everybody to know that they are rich. There's a pride there. There's an egotism there. And here's this rich man comes to Jesus. But when he comes to Jesus, man, he doesn't give a flip about what anybody sees him like. And I don't know if you've ever seen the verse before. Mark, if you'll go there in the 10th chapter, it's kind of a neat little verse. Let's take a look at it together in the 17th verse of Mark, the 10th chapter. It says, and now as he was going out, speaking of Jesus on the road, one came running and knelt down before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit inheritance? We hear about the whole story about everything else. But did you ever think about the man who got his attention was a man that ran after him? A man that didn't care what people thought? A man that knelt down before Jesus? It stopped Jesus in his tracks and brought him to a place of answering his questions. Why? Because he didn't at that moment care what anybody thought about him. He didn't care that he was different. He didn't care what people thought. He just ran after Jesus and then knelt down before him. And sometimes you and I have got to stop caring about what people think about us. I don't give a flip about what the world sees me like. I've got to run after Jesus in order to get his attention so that he stops and opens the doors of my heart. Every single one of us, you know, we're talking about what desire looks like. You're going to have to not be afraid of being different than the world. The world wants to hold up a standard. The world wants to be cool. The world says you're too cool to carry your Bible. You're too cool to bring it into a restaurant. I remember the first time I ever carried it into a restaurant, laid it down on the table. The waitress just ignored me completely. I felt funny about the whole thing. But I said, I'm going to do this because I had to break this over me. I feel so intimidated by bringing my Bible. And when I left, I mean, I didn't know that probably the reason she didn't give me any attention and want to take care of me because she probably waited on other Christians. And you know, Christians can be tightwads and, you know, leave little tracks and stuff like that instead of leaving a generous tip. Well, I left her a generous tip, and next time I came and put my Bible down, may I say this to you? She was very nice to me. See, let me tell you something. You got to get to the place we don't care what people think. If you still care what people think about you being a Christian, you'll never be the Christian that fulfills the desire of what God has for you and wants to do in your life. Get over it. Second thing, what real desire looks like. I love this one. Are you ready? Seeks God with a passion. Real desire just really passionately goes after God. If there was ever a turn in our walk with Jesus Christ between Deborah and Deborah has never stopped at this, and I don't know that I have either. I may have slowed down in my communication. But guess what? There's a passion there. You can't hang around either of us for very long before we're in your face telling you about Jesus. Why? Because, man, there's a passion on the inside of us. We're passionate about this. We want it. We're zeal about it. We're hungry for it. There's got to be a passion for the things of the Lord. And man, if you're dead, can I tell you something? The Bible says that Paul writes Timothy and says, stir yourself up. I've got to stir myself up. Some days I don't feel like being passionate. Some days I don't feel like being the preacher. Some days I don't feel like doing anything. I don't want to go to church. I don't feel like going to church. I just want to lay in bed. I have said to Debbie many times, just let me lay in bed. She says, you can't. You're the preacher. Got to get up and get going. You got to be passionate. You got to stir yourself. Nobody can stir you. Say, I'm going to go to that church. He stirs me up. Guess what? When he's not there, then what's the problem? The problem is, guess what? He won't be there with you when everything, all the world comes against you. You got to learn how to stir yourself up all the time and be passionate about things of God. And I love this scripture. We're going to be passionate. There's such a cool verse. Jesus talking to a Samaritan woman. She goes off to the city and tells everybody about Jesus and how that Jesus told her all about her life. And all these people start coming back to Jesus. I'm going to read it to you if I may in John the 4th chapter. Go there with me in John the 4th chapter. We're talking about the Samaritan woman. You're right there in Mark. Let's just go to John the 4th chapter. And when you get to John, the 4th chapter, right at the end of the 4th chapter, verse number 39, it says, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him. Why? Because the word of the woman who testified, he tells me all that I ever did. Here's Jesus. He tells her everything about her life. Man, and she was a hoe. She was. And he tells her everything. And she's so shocked, she runs back into the city. She says, hey, you guys, there's a guy out here. I know he's the Messiah. This is the one we've all been waiting for. He is, and she's a Samaritan woman. That means she's outside of Israel. And she gets the whole city to come and listen to Jesus. She's the first evangelist. She gets the whole city to come and listen to Jesus. Here's the next verse. Watch this. And so when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. Now, I don't know if you ever got that. Watch this. When the Samaritans had come to Jesus, they urged. You see the word urged up there? Some of your Bibles say beseeched. How many of you have that Bible says that you beseech, and that's the old King James? And then you'll find, guess what? That word really means to urge is to beg. Everybody say beg.
Beg.
So here's these guys. They beg him to stay, and I should have underlined the words, he stayed. Now, wait a minute. If they can beg him to stay and he stays, don't tell me that he doesn't look at your passion, your desire, your wants, and how much you really petition for what it is you want, because the Bible makes it very clear. Come on, you guys back there. You can do this. You can put up the words, he stayed. And listen to this. He says he urges him to stay and he stayed there. They begged him. They had to have a passion for that to happen. They had to have a passion for that to happen. Listen to what it says. Here's another little verse that I found that's kind of cool. In Acts, the 13th chapter, Paul is in the synagogue teaching in the synagogue. Outside the synagogue, because Gentiles weren't allowed in synagogue. So outside the synagogue, Gentiles are listening to Paul preach about Jesus in the synagogue. And they come up, listen to this, they come up to Paul, and here's what they say in Acts, the 13th chapter, verse 42. Let's just pop it up. We're talking about passion. Acts 13, chapter, verse number 42. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Jesus preaches to the Gentiles next Sabbath. The Bible says, verse 44, the whole town turned out to hear what he had to say. How did that happen? Somebody had a passion that caught the attention of Jesus. Whether it was the Samaritans that got him to stay, or these Gentiles that said, come, Paul, preach to us, and the whole town turns out. Why? All based on something. Someone had a passion to meet up with God. And guys, listen to me, what I'm saying to you. If you're ever going to get to the place of what real desire looks like, you're going to have to get to the place, number one, not be afraid to be different. Number two, to seek God with passion. Because when you seek God with passion, he'll stay. When you seek God with passion, he'll show up. Are you hearing me? But if you just have a little brain dead thing towards God, like, well, you know, whatever. Let me tell you something. Don't expect anything. Is anybody listening? Listen, I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. I love you like crazy. But guess what? There needs to be an awakening for some of us that are in this church. In other words, can I say this? Listen to me. Here's the awakening and the reason for it. Because you really want to be blessed. You really want to get answered prayers. You really want to be happy and full of joy. You really want to be successful in your business. You want to be happy and fulfilled in your marriages. You really want your children and your generations after you to remember you and do something that you had a call in your life to do it. And it's not going to happen because you attend church. It's going to be happening because you're not afraid to be different, number one. And number two, you're going to have to approach and chase after God with passion. And when you have a passion, God stays. I can say that without a shadow of a doubt, that God's never left Debbie and I. I don't know a time when God hasn't spoken to us. I don't know a time when he's ever... We've always maintained a passion. You have to stir yourself up to maintain that passion. Number three, on what real desire looks like. Real desire prepares for God. This is one of my favorite. If you're not preparing for God, then what are you preparing for? Let me talk to you about this. It's very important for you. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. If you're not preparing to get God, you'll not get God. You better be prepared. Listen, oh, hear me. I'll explain this. You better be prepared. Let me explain what I'm saying to you. There was a time when I was a single man as a Christian, before I ever met Deborah. And I'm in my late 20s. I'm in my early 30s before I ever met Deborah. I had a bunch of buddies and friends. I wasn't a preacher. I had a bit of a passion for God. And all my friends said, come on, let's go get a beer. Come on, let's go. It's Saturday night, man. Let's go shoot some pool and let me have a chance to win my money back. And let's go have a few beers. And then I know where there's a party, or I know where there's some girls. And let's go. I'm just like you. Just like you. And I realized that when I'd go out with those guys on Sunday, I was brain dead. When I made it to church. I made it to church, but I didn't hear a thing the guy said. I made it to church and got nothing out of it. I made it to church, but God never made it to me. Because I wasn't prepared. And I finally got to the place, this is a true story, when I got to the place and I said, listen, you guys, I can't do this Saturday night stuff. I got to get ready and prepared to hear from God tomorrow. They said, oh man, you have really freaked out us. You're freaking us all out, man. You were better when you were drunk. You were like, what is this all about? And you know, eventually they stopped inviting me, which was just fine. But I remember when I made the sacrifice of preparing to hear the voice of the Lord, I'd walk out of church like, oh my God, God spoke to me. I got something from God. And you know, my heart was heavy. And when you come into the house of God, or even get out of bed in the morning, are we preparing ourselves for the day to meet up with God? And if you're not prepared, then what happens is you're not ready to hear from God. And if you're not ready to hear from God, God will speak, and you get nothing. And so a lot of you that are in here right now, because, you know, whatever, you may be here because somebody brought you, and that's cool, I'm glad. But the problem with it is oftentimes is because we're not prepared, we don't get anything out of it. And it's not because there's nothing good being said. There's something great being said, but we're not prepared to hear it. And that's why I always say, get into church at least 5 minutes before church starts and listen to the music and get your heart right. And let the dust of the world just fall off of you so your heart can be right to hear from the word of the Lord, prepare yourself. And we prepare ourselves for the weekend. I mean, we start like Wednesday to prepare for the weekend now. You know, and the reason for that is we watch ourselves even at night. And sure, a lot of times, even when I'm not ministering, I'm preparing myself because it doesn't matter who preaches because it's the Holy Spirit. So I don't go there and say, oh, this guy's, I like this guy. This guy's this, I got. Forget that childish stuff. That's just childish and immature. I'm going here, doesn't matter who's preaching. But listen, if God can speak through a jackass. Now, don't get any ideas. But if God can speak through a jackass, I want to hear what God has to say. I don't care if it takes a jackass. Anybody listening? So you got to be prepared. If you're not ready, you'll miss it. Now listen to the verses, kind of interesting. While you're there, just go back one more book into Acts in the 17th chapter, I think it is, of Acts. Let's take a look at it together. We're talking about being prepared, Acts the 17th chapter. Notice in Acts the 17th chapter, in verse number 11, kind of a cool little verse. It says, these were more fair-minded, speaking of the Bereans, these were more fair-minded than those of Thessalonica. In other words, they were ready to hear. Watch this. For they received the word with all readiness and searched the scripture daily to find out whether these things were so. I mean, they were so ready. They didn't just hear somebody brain dead and walk out. They got a hold of the notes. They followed up, make sure the guy's not crazy. They make sure this guy's not talking some sanity. They wanted to check out the Bible or the Word of God that they had to make sure that this guy is saying what he says. Paul comes along, starts preaching this stuff. How do you know he's not a heretic? How do you know he's lost his mind? How do you know he's not taking you to an island and drink grape juice? Come on. See, we got to check this stuff out. And if you're not ready, well, hear me. If you're with all what? Readiness. If you're not ready, you're not going to make it. Is anybody listening? You've got to prepare yourself for God. Here's number four. I like this. We're talking about what desire looks like. Number four. Desire, it won't stay alone. Now that's a funny little statement. It won't stay alone. In other words, you will find that when you're desiring God so much, you cannot stop sharing it with other people. And you'll not just come alone to church. You will look for somebody to bring to church. There are one lady was so excited. She got saved at church. That night, she brought 14 people back to church. They all got saved. She had such a desire for God that her desire rubbed off on everybody else around her. And for a lot of us, we have this desire for God, but it only goes as far as us. And real desire for God never stays with just you alone. It reaches out to other people. And there's somebody God put in my path so I can bring them and tell them or do something. This is not just about me. I have such a desire for His greatness to be in other people's lives too. Man, I can't stay alone in my faith with God. And I go get them. And I love the scripture that God gave me on this one. Acts, the 10th chapter, verse number 33. Here we find Cornelius and his whole family. This Gentile is going to just be an interesting place. In fact, pop it up, if you will. In Acts, the 10th chapter, verse 33, it says about Paul. He says, "So I sent for you immediately, and you came. And you have done well to come," he says. "Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God." In other words, Paul, tell us everything. We want to know it all. And we're all here. And this guy couldn't keep it to himself. He sent for him, and he didn't keep it for himself. Do you know what he did? He brought his whole family and everybody else he knew in. Why? Because when you have a strong desire for God, and you're really into God, you've got to share it with other people. It'll never stay alone. So today, if you're just looking at your own life and my own life, I know I always minister to myself. There's four things that God wanted to share with us that we can improve and work on in our own lives to be stronger, healthier Christians. Number one, what real desire looks like. It's not afraid to be different. I don't care if we're a spectacle, then let us be a spectacle for God. Not afraid of what the world or friends or anybody else says about us. You got to get over that intimidation. Number two, it seeks God with a real passion. In such a way that passion is just hungry. If you will beg God to stay, He will stay. You don't have to beg Him. You just got to want to be with Him. When you want to be with Him, He'll be with you. I promise you that. And He will stay. Number three, here's what real desire looks like. It has a preparation. You got to prepare yourself to get something from God. Most people that attend American churches really don't give a flip about God. They come out of routine. They come because they're bored. They guess what? You'll try God. Can I tell you something? You'll never try God. You either do God or you'll fail. And number four, and I love this, it won't stay alone. You got to tell somebody else and bring somebody else. You got to share it with somebody else. If you're sitting alone and you're not sharing the gospel with somebody else, then you need to check your desire level. It's just as simple as that. If God spoke to you today, give Him a great big praise all over you. Did you get something out of that? I got something out of that.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.